And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. So for those who do not know, we are in the book of Genesis, and we are getting into different verses in chapter 2. So I want you to be aware that the last time we talked about this, we illustrated clearly that the scripture is not written chronologically, because in fact, Genesis chapter 2 goes backwards before Eve was born and even before Adam was born. And in chapter 1, Adam was, you know, created. So there you go. I want you to keep that in mind. Next thing I want you to remember is that into Adam, God breathed into him the breath of life. Now I want you to remember that phrase, the breath of life. Man became a living being based on what? The breath of life. Job states, the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Job 33:4. There is zero, how much? Zero question that the breath that came from God is the Holy Spirit and that the breath that comes from God is the Holy Spirit. The same breath that God poured into Adam is living in you from Adam, but also the same breath from Jesus Christ. And that is why you are born again. And finally, at the center of the garden, which was a portion of Eden, the Garden of Eden, means it's just the garden within Eden. Eden was bigger than that. But in the center, there were two trees. There was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. At the center of the existence of mankind, as we said last week, and we say so again, at the center of the existence of mankind is a choice.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Nice. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey. So much more. So much more. I mean, just so much more. Now, remember, it's not professional radio. I think Jacob and I have made that very clear to everybody. It's just radio. But we're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show, for those that want to, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can also text us live during the show, whether you're in San Diego, whether you're in Denver, whether you're in Dallas, or whether you're in Detroit, or on the moon, but we still haven't figured that part out yet. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like knowing that your spiritual radio family has your back.
Aww.
That's nice.
Thank you, David. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, my friend. It's nice to think that when people have your back, that's what it's like when they talk to you. It's like this talking to somebody who's got my back. He's got me covered. See, isn't that nice? I want 750. I want about $350. Okay, there we go.
And then the $5 from last week, so it's now $850.
I want about $850. Okay, here we go. A couple things that I want to make sure you understand, and that is simply this. If you've got a praise report or a prayer request, just had our two wonderful ladies, Cordelia and Joanne, call in and share a wonderful praise, answer trivia and prayer request. And why it was a good prayer request is because they're going into a doctor's appointment. We want to be with them. We want the Lord to bless them. They want their time to be a blessing. You go into it in prayer. You don't wait till you've come to the very end of it and then go, well, I guess it's time to pray. That's not the way you do that. You pray ahead of time. Maybe you got a praise report, something awesome that's happened, whatever the case may be. I'm very excited. I will tell you this. So I've got these new projects. I'm only revealing bits and pieces, but let's just say the Lord has given me really great favor in some of these projects. I'm excited. I'll be sharing that with some of you guys. But that's a praise report. I just want to thank the Lord for giving me the right steps to go in doing my project. You think, well, it's just a project. It's your project. I'm not doing this without a partnership with God. And I don't know why anybody would do anything without a partnership with God. It just seems like a dumb idea. So you've got the praise report. You've got prayer requests. We do history. We do jokes. We do Bible trivia. Bible trivia? Why do you do Bible trivia? Because it keeps the Bible at the forefront of our thoughts. It keeps us recognizing the Word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of Christ. Remember, Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What does that mean? That means that Jesus is the Word of God. Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. 39 chapters in the Old Testament, 27 chapters in the New Testament. That's what helps us keep faith, keeping our faith going and growing. It's the cornerstone, plus our prayer, plus our fellowship, plus all the ministry and all the things that we do, plus even giving, even serving, any of those things help you increase in faith because you're doing things in the faith, and that enhances your faith. Here's a Bible trivia question. See if you can get this. Which tree was cursed by Jesus? It was a tree that was cursed by Jesus. Jesus never said anything bad. Cursed a tree? Was it the sycamore tree, the fig tree, or the acacia tree? Which tree is it that Jesus cursed? The sycamore tree, the fig tree, or the acacia tree? Matthew chapter 21, verse 19. That is going to be your answer, your reference point. Matthew 21:19. If you think you know the answer, by the way, you know what you can do? You can call us. Ha ha ha. That's fun. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text us. What? Yeah. 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483. Or send an email, David@hemusincrease.org. So the question, pretty straightforward. I don't think it's very complex. Which tree was cursed by Jesus? The sycamore tree, the fig tree, or the acacia tree? Matthew 21:19 is your reference point. Somebody is, in fact, ready to answer the trivia question. So let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
Good, Gary. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm okay.
You sound pretty good, though. I mean, that's always a good thing when you sound good. I like that. You know what I'm saying? I was so blessed when you called the other day. Some people are like, oh, man, you were so happy. Like, yeah, I was.
Well, my telephone was down for 2 weeks, and with God's help, I got it back up. So
yeah, I love
something
that.
Of a praise report, I guess.
Yeah, no, that this is I just want to say this, Gary. Anytime technology works, I consider it a praise report. Just so you can, I'm just saying.
But that's why I didn't call for a couple of weeks because the telephone was out. Yeah. But I got it up and I'm back calling. And I thank the Lord for it.
Amen. All right. Now let me set you up on the trivia question. You can answer it and then we'll go from there. And I still want to pray over you. So let's do it together. Here's the first thing. Which tree, I'll set it up for you, which tree was cursed by Jesus? The sycamore, the fig tree, or the acacia tree?
It was the fig tree.
That is correct, Amanda, sir! Right. Now, when I was pastoring, I had my associate pastor preach a message. So every once in a while, I had him preach so that, you know, I didn't do all the preaching. And he preached his message, and, you know, it was going over here, going over here. But then he made this one point that I thought was really good. Now, I wouldn't die for this, but I like it. And that is, he said, you know, Jesus cursed the fig tree. He goes, isn't that the same kind of plant that Adam and Eve tried to use to cover themselves and protect themselves and kind of clothe themselves? And yet Jesus cursed a fig tree. Like, oh, that's good. Like, oh, I like that. That's a good, a nice connection. So I always thought that was kind of cool. Because, like, that's right. No, you got to depend on the Lord. All right. Awesome. Let's pray over you if that's cool for you. Is it okay?
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. Lift up our precious brother Gary, a blessing to each one of us. And we ask you to bring healing into his life. And I'm just struck by the level of compassion, and I'm disappointed in myself that I don't operate in that level, but I just pray that you would demonstrate that level of compassion to Gary to bring healing into his body, to allow him to find the regeneration that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit in his physical body. He's a born-again believer, one of your children, one of your sons, and we're asking you to give him a physical resemblance to what has gone on in his spiritual life. We ask you to bless him, encourage him, bless him this week. Let it be a good week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, and I'll be praying for all of you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Another phenomenal call by our brother Gary. Always does a great job. All right. Here we go. We're going to do our DNA. Yeah? Why? Because. Wait, this is the best answer. So my wife and I, we were having this little, it wasn't a debate, but you know how people will say, you know, they'll go, because, and then it's like, why, because, and you can go the back and forth, right? So then we came up with, you don't have to say all of because, you can just say because.
Cause. Yep, just keep shortening.
Cause, why? Then you're both at the same thing. It's three letters each. Anyway, yeah, that's right. That's our lives. Don't ask anything else. Here it is, DNA. These are our building blocks, how we need to exist. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. Every day. I was running late today and was working on a couple of things, a little bit of the project stuff. So it's spiritual. It's cool. And then I just said, stop. I have not spent time just separating myself from everything else and just hearing what God has to say. And as soon as I do that, the day changes. It's almost like every day it happens. It's so weird. And then you see things you hadn't seen in the Word, or you just ask God to speak to you, read to, or to reinforce. You know, there's so many things we know that we've learned as we've read, but how many of those things don't we use? So sometimes reading the Word, sometimes getting into prayer, bringing something before the Lord and really, really massaging it in there in the conversation, really sharing the depth of your heart in it. These are all things that help us. It's not that it's helping God. God likes to spend time with us, but it helps us. It brings life to us. Draw closer to the Lord daily. That's D. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Not even going to deal with what's on the horizon. I'm not dealing with some of the things that have come up recently, but every person who's out there who is some type of influencer in some capacity, slamming on Christians because we're so stupid because we believe that God created the universe and that the dude can write a book, that is just going to increase and increase. And here's the best answer you can ever have. Who cares? Those people don't have a heaven to put you in. They didn't even have a stick of gum to give you. Don't care. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. Never be ashamed of the Word of God. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. So this is a mission-minded mindset. Ooh, look at those three M's right in a row. Mission-minded mindset. What this means is that as we are going about our existence, we are aware that it is not just our errands, it is not just our job, it is not just our reports, it is not just our paperwork, it is not just our stuff that we have to do, but there's got to be a compartment in our brain, in our heart, that says, Lord, I am available to be used as you see fit. And you think, well, how many times do I say that a day? As many as you can remember. How's that? Start with one. Start with one. Move up from there. That would be the way to do that. So draw closer to the Lord daily and never be ashamed of Jesus' words. A, always be ready to serve. Keep yourself available, ready, prepared, just like Luke chapter 15 mentions about always being ready to serve. It's like, yep, yep, that's what we want to do. Always being ready to serve. D, draw closer to the Lord daily and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. We're going to take our break here. I do want to remind you guys to pray for my wife. She's going through a busy season. That's always fun for David and her. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Who knows when a broken
heart will mend. Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, if anybody gets offended at this, I apologize that you have no sense of humor. Okay. Like that? That's a good line. Bam, bam. All right, here's the first one. A pastor was leaving his area and was saying farewell to his congregation at the church door for the last time. He shook the hand of an elderly lady as she walked out. She said, "Your successor won't be as good as you." "Well, nonsense," said the pastor in a flattered tone. "No, really," said the old lady. "I've been here under 5 different ministers, and each new one has been worse than the last." Ouch. Ouch. But this is the one that's going to offend people, which is irony, right? Because that's more offensive than this is. And this is just too. And if you guys get offended at this, I, you know, take a week off the show. It seems there was a minister who had just all of his remaining teeth pulled and new dentures were being made. The first Sunday, he only preached 10 minutes. The second Sunday, he preached 20 minutes. But the third Sunday, he preached an hour and 25 minutes. When asked about this by some of the congregation, he responded this way. "The first Sunday, my gums were so sore it hurt to talk. The second Sunday, my dentures were hurting a lot. The third Sunday, I accidentally grabbed my wife's dentures, and I couldn't stop talking." Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Monday Blue Day. What? You mean Monday Fun Day? That's what we mean over here. Are you ready? Right? This is kind of a fun Monday, getting it going, right?
Probably it's always Monday Fun Day.
That's right. You probably expected me to be a little more bluesy. I was still really happy about the year that the Lions had. I mean, I'm just being honest. It was like, that was a good year. You know, did good. Now if we can just get the Red Wings to learn how to play hockey again, which they used to be able to play, but that's a whole separate thing. All right. Here's your trivia question. This is a great trivia question. Think about this one. This is really deep in thought. Where did John write the apocalypse? Where did John write the apocalypse? On the island of Crete, on the island of Maui, or on the island of Patmos? Which one? On the island of Crete, on the island of Maui, or on the island of Patmos? Where did John write the apocalypse? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Your reference, by the way, is Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. Okay? Now, I got to say this about Aunt Deb. So I gave three different islands, and her answer was on an island. All right, Deb, listen up.
Well, technically, she is correct.
I know, right? That's what's so funny. All right. Is it on the island of Crete, on the island of Maui, or on the island of Patmos? Okay, there. See, there you go. Just one of those three islands. Again, if you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email to David at hemustincrease.org. So much to say, so little time to do it, which is kind of how I love the shows. I have two jokes. One is a one-liner that I am pretty confident that Jacob will like because we know what kind of joke he likes now. He's told us. And then the other one is a little more complex, so you have to listen. Now, there are only two jokes, and people are like, why are you telling jokes? And here's my response. Why not? Okay, here we go. I'm paying for the time. Why not? All right, here we go. Joke number one, very fast. Why did the cucumber need a lawyer? Why did the cucumber need a lawyer?
Why?
Because he was in a pickle. You like those fast one-liners, don't you? Right? Okay.
Yep, right. Short to the point.
Okay. This one is not that. But don't get ready to buzz yet till you hear it. A police officer was investigating an accident. I didn't even start yet. A police officer, that was pretty funny though. A police officer was investigating an accident on a narrow two-lane road on which the drivers had hit virtually head-on. One driver, an extremely elderly woman, kept repeating, he wouldn't let me have my half of the road. He wouldn't let me have my half of the road. As gathering as much information as possible, the officer approached the other driver who was examining his own damage. The police officer said, the older lady says you wouldn't let her have her half of the road. Why not? In exasperation, the man turned from his smashed car and said, officer, I would have been more than happy to give her half the road if she just would have let me know which half she wanted.
You serious, Clark?
That's pretty good. Come on. That's not a bad joke. That's not bad. All right. Here we go. Where did John write the apocalypse? On the island of Crete, on the island of Maui, or on the island of Patmos? In the meantime, we're diving back into Genesis, and this, let me just say, there'll be not controversial, other than many teachers, a little bit more on the Catholic Church side of things. Don't get offended if you're a Catholic. It's not my fault that they're teaching this. But a little bit more on that side of things you're going to find out is not accurate to what is communicated. Here is what it says. It says this, when the Lord God made the heavens and the earth, there were no plants or grain growing on the earth, for the Lord God had not sent any rain, and no one was there to cultivate the soil. But water came out of the ground and watered all the land. The Lord God formed a man's body, from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into it the breath of life. And man became a living person. So let's just slow it down. Listen to what it says. Water came up out of the ground and watered all the land. And the Lord God formed man's body from the dust of the ground. God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Every priest who has ever said that God scooped the dirt and dug deep into the soil and that the color of that soil was dark is a political hack who is biblically clueless. The dust that's referred to in Genesis is the word apar in the Hebrew and is the top layer of soil, like the top dusting on sand. Have you ever dusted in your house? What does that look like? That was the color that's being talked about. And the weirdest part is to justify social racial equality, they've come up with a teaching saying that God dug really deep into the dirt, got the darkest part of the dirt, and that's what he breathed in. It doesn't say that. It doesn't communicate that. It is untrue, and it is ridiculous. What does that mean? I venture to think that in that territory, pretty much tan is as much as you're going to get into. It's typically a tannish color. Get over it. People are like, well, God did this. God, oh, stop. It's so ridiculous. People get so ridiculous about this stuff. What they try and do is they try and take the Bible and they try and use it to support their political position right up until they're talking about abortion. And then it's like, well, we're not talking about that. Oh, yes, yeah, so you use some of it to justify your cause, but not the rest of it. Here's the deal. You either accept the word of God or you don't. You either acknowledge the word of God or you don't. You either yield to the word of God or you don't. It's not a buffet where you get to pick and choose what you like. You know, you're not in home-style buffets or whatever, right? You're not going, that's not how it goes. And so it's very clear. And the reason that I bring this up is because this form of teaching, which is a false teaching, an absolute lie, has permeated different parts of the church in order for the church to be culturally relevant. Who cares if the church is culturally relevant? We care about the truth. And the truth doesn't bend and bow for the latest thing that everybody's all going, ooh, over. The truth is the word of God. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus said in John 17:17. And the culture changes. You don't change the word of God to accommodate. The truth is the truth. You don't change 2 + 2 = 4 to make people happy who are into divisions. Do you understand? That was a really good joke if you caught that. You get that? See, you don't change. Okay. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is God scooped the dust. That's the soil that's being referred to. Apar, the top layer of the soil, the top dusting on sand. That's what he's talking about. So stop trying to make it a political, ridiculous, goofy, stupid issue on some kind of cultural level. Never happened, never true, total lie, and everybody who's trying to promote that, false teacher. Sorry. That's the way it goes. You're going to be a false teacher. You get called out for it. The trivia question, where did John write the apocalypse? You should have seen Jacob just lifting up the ping, ping, bong, ball. I'm going to throw it. All right. Where did John write the apocalypse? On the island of Crete, on the island of Maui, or on the island of Patmos? And while I have been to the island of Maui, that is not where he wrote it. He wrote it on the island of Patmos. Thank you very much. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. As we said earlier, we'll take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the True Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
So there's teaching in the church. Most of you, if you're familiar with the shepherding movement, just so you can know, Bob Mumford and Derek Prince, people who were influential in the church, came up with this idea of the shepherding movement, that the shepherd is responsible for the people, and because the shepherd is responsible for the people, the shepherd should have authority to help them make decisions in life. Initially, the idea is good in the sense of making good decisions, moral decisions, so on and so forth, but it quickly grew into abuse where people were making decisions about relationships, jobs, locations of living, how much they were giving, the whole nine yards, okay? Pastor Ken was a huge fan of the shepherding movement. He just didn't know it was called the shepherding movement. He just liked the control. So he would say to us, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. You can't speak against me. It's okay that you took down the rabbi, but you can't do that to me. I'm going to read you a scripture. I'm going to show you where the error is so that everybody can understand how deep the fallacy goes. This comes out of Psalm 105, and this is verse 8. And I'm going to show you something that a lot of people won't show you because they don't understand the word context. Verse 8 in Psalm 105, he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, his oath to Isaac, then confirmed it to Jacob, to Israel, to who? to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan and the portion of your inheritance, when they were only a few in people, very few and strangers in it. And they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to oppress them, and he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed one, and do my prophets no harm. In context, touch not my anointed ones and do my prophet no harm is all the people of Israel. And God was telling all these different Gentile nations, don't touch my people. Don't touch my people. You touch my people, you're going to be in trouble. Bad, bad, bad. Don't do that. I'll blow you up. I mean, this is like that kind of thing. And what the pastors have done is they've taken that verse out of context, even though it refers to the people of God. And you think, wait, 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 are you telling me it's not the leaders? Touch not my anointed one. Christ means anointed one. Christians is anointed ones. Specifically, that passage is about people who don't believe in God touching God's people. That's exactly what it's got nothing to do with a pastor by himself. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Glad that Aunt Deb picked it up on the fill. By the way, there was another fill earlier today that it was also right along sync. I just like that when that happens. You guys just don't know. It's just a great rarity for it to happen. Very, very cool stuff. So anyhow, we're going to do our trivia question. After I ask the trivia question, I'm going to send you up to the website, harp a little bit more on the giving part of it. Then when we come back, we're going to do the history, and then we're going to do this teaching. And the next two teachings in Genesis is just lights out fantastic stuff. So I hope we can get through it all. Here's your trivia question. Now, this is a toughie. What does the fourth beast in Daniel's dream symbolize? Does it symbolize the fourth kingdom, the fourth year, or the fourth heaven? So there's this fourth beast in Daniel. Does it mean the fourth kingdom, the fourth year, or the fourth heaven? This is Daniel chapter 7, verse 23. Daniel chapter 7, verse 23. If you have no idea, you can make an educated guess in your mind and heart. Just do the best you can. If you have a problem because you always have to be right, there's something wrong. You don't always have to be right. You just do your best. Learn from it. If you don't, I just love what Jerry Podiak, when I was a fast food restaurant manager, my first time, right? And he was walking me through everything. And, you know, I was younger, right? But I'm learning things, learning about management, so on and so forth. And he said, David, he said, do your best. He goes, if you pick an issue and you choose right, he said, you're probably lucky. That's what he said to me. He goes, if you choose wrong, you'll learn from it, and then you'll know the next time. Now, he told me that 45 years ago. He was right. Period. He was right. Do your best. Make a choice. Pick. You pick from it. If you get it, pick right, that's pretty good. You're kind of lucky. If you get it wrong, you'll learn from it. You'll never forget it. All right, now before we get the caller who's ready to take it, we're going to send you to the website, because I have to send you to the website because we always need money. I'm not even going to make that big a deal about it. You can give on the website. There's lots of new stuff. If you haven't been on the website, go to the website. Check it out. There's two really cool stuff. Look under the books, which is under ministry. You'll find some fascinating things there if you hadn't seen it yet. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You can also give on the website. Please do if you can. Check it out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Yep. I was just playing that the other day on my dog's head. Boom, 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 boom. After he brought all the mud into the house. I'm kidding. Somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Good afternoon, David. This is JD.
Hey, JD. How are you?
Fantastic, thank you. On a beautiful day like today, I'm doing fantastic.
It is so nice today, isn't it? It's just been cold, which I don't mind the cold because it doesn't last very long, but I love days like today. It's just so nice to go outside and go, oh, I feel the sun. Wow.
Yes, let's go fishing.
All right, my friend, here we go. I'll set it up. You hit it out. Here we go. What does the fourth beast in Daniel's dream symbolize? The fourth kingdom, the fourth year, or the fourth heaven?
I have been told that the beast corresponds to different kingdoms and rulers.
Kingdoms is correct, sir! That is excellent. I want to say that Ken wrote in and said it symbolizes the fourth, and then just left it. Like, okay, that's going to be right no matter what. Hello. But, yeah, the fourth kingdom. Excellent job. That is right. Now, were you guessing or you kind of knew, but you just kind of, like, went for it? Well, where were you at?
I listened to a show that comes on after you.
Yep.
And they talk on there about end times, about how the different kingdoms are called beast in Revelation.
Exactly. And so that is excellent. So you made that correlation. And I will say, you know, whether you agree with everything you say or not, they do an excellent job, an excellent presentation. And it should be noted that kingdoms of men are often thought of as beasts anyway. So, I mean, that's a good way to think of it. It's like, oh, yeah, that's the beast kind of right there. Excellent job, sir. Fantastic. Phenomenal.
Thank you, sir. So I have a prayer request.
Absolutely. What do you got?
I am an Uber driver. I got 13,000 trips. I met people all over the world. About a year ago, I met this couple. He was in BUDS. That's the training for SEALs. And he had a major psychological episode that has now damaged him the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And his wife is an angel, staying and sticking by him. If we could say a prayer for his healing and for her strength.
Yeah, absolutely.
And his name is Nathan, and her name is Stephanie.
Nathan and Stephanie. Let's pray for him right now, okay? Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now, and first we thank you and praise you because not only are you worthy of all praise, you're just phenomenal to all of us. And we're just so grateful for the graciousness you extend us. And right now we pray for Nathan. And we pray for Stephanie, and first for Nathan, Lord, that, Lord, he had a break, and it's those are the hardest things to recover from, and only a miracle can bring him restoration. It's not even the medication can do enough. We need a miracle from heaven to restore his mind. But we know you do that. You did that with Nebuchadnezzar. We ask you to do that for Nathan. Stand by Stephanie. She's standing by. Her man, she's being faithful, diligent, careful, loving. Give her stamina, strength, wisdom. Give her fortitude. Give her confidence and expectation for deliverance. Be upon them. Be upon our brother for caring so much for other people. He's stretched out his own heart, and he wants these people, of all these people he's encountered, he wants these people to have a touch, a blessing, because he cares. Honor him for that. That's a great thing, a great spirit. And help Nathan and Stephanie, help these two recover and be redeemed on this side as well as the next. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. God bless you, brother.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, phenomenal. See what's great about that is caring about others, right? Can you take that away? That is exactly what we're talking about. Why? It's in his world. It's in his universe. God brought them in. A reason God brought them in, right? Could it have been just for that moment? Maybe. Probably a lot more, but I just think that's cool. All right. Excellent job. Excellent call. So thank you, bro. Call in anytime. Let's get back to the teach. We got a little bit on this teach, and this teach is so... I'll never be able to do this. Okay, that's all right. I'm just going to do my best. Just love me anyway. That's your job. Anyhow, here we go. After we talked about from the dust of the earth, the rest of that verse says this. The Lord God formed man's body from the dust of the ground and breathed into it the breath of life. and man became a living person. Breathed into it the breath of life, and man became alive. Let me explain something, that when you responded, yielded, repented, called upon, sought, received, anything you want to use there, I don't care, to God, to his calling, to the declaration, to the gospel, a phenomenal moment happened, and the breath of life that gave Adam and that went into Jesus, that second Adam, that's why Jesus called the second Adam, sparked in you a born-again being. That breath from God, by the way, that went into Adam is still the same breath that's gone into every single human being ever. But unfortunately, sin has a way of corrupting, which is why when Jesus was born as of man and of God, so that corruption could be defeated. And so the same breath that goes into Adam goes into Jesus. That same breath goes into you. You are born again. I want to say something about this that's exceedingly important. It's the breath of life that makes us alive. Isn't it highly unusual or bizarre at all that 2 Timothy 3:16 says every scripture is God-breathed? That's the breath of life. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you read the Bible and it's like the breath comes off the page and you're like going, whoa, I feel alive. The law of the Lord is perfect, able to restore the soul. Psalm 19, verse 7. Wow! I read that and it just leaped off the page. I knew it. Right? That's the breath, because it was the breath of God that went into the Word of God. It's when the Holy Spirit tells you something, good or bad, because being disciplined is an earmark that you're a child of the Most High God. The Holy Spirit is there's a life there. You know you're born again. You know you're God's kid. In fact, the Holy Spirit, who's the breath of life, testifies with your spirit, I am a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, a follower of the teachings and the truth of Jesus Christ. That is what the breath of life is. So when you're praying and in God's presence, there's a resurgence of the breath. When you're reading and you're in God's presence, there's a resurgence of the breath. When two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus is there. There's the breath. When you're doing things for God, in the name of God, in partnership with God, including your job, as long as you're doing in partnership with God, not to your own self, there is breath. And that breath gives life. Every time you've had a spiritual moment of life, it's that. And that's God's commitment. He not only breathed on us, he continues to breathe on us. Such a beautiful poetic element. Breathe on us, Lord, your breath, and let it give me life. Listen to that, Job 33:4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Hallelujah. Was that not awesome? That is awesome sauce times 10. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to break. I'll come back. We'll do the history on the backside. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry. No parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
The David Spoon Experience.
You should see Gabriel because he's running everything. He has to run to this thing, run to this thing. It's great to see it because I just love that the Lord's bringing him in this way. Somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Yes, they are. So we're going to have them come forward, send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, Dr. Spoon. This is Deborah.
Deborah. Take two aspirin and call me in the morning. Anyway. All right. I hope you're getting a kick out of the show today. This is a fun one today. All right, you ready? All right, here you, this is a good one. Which of David's wives was described as very beautiful to look upon?
I believe it was Bathsheba.
That is correct! You are right!
Yay.
2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. That's exactly what it says. Excellent job. By the way, how you doing, Deborah? How are things going for you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm doing a lot better, and, you know, things are going well.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I want everybody to keep praying for Deborah. Don't stop praying for the audience. One of the things I came up with today when I was praying is everybody should be praying that the Lord would just help one another. Help the people. Help the people, Lord.
Yes,
help the people.
I do pray that, and I do pray for the audience all the time. So
I love it, and I love that you do that, and I love that you call in. And like I said, you are the best guesser we have ever had. So excellent job.
You know, I always thought it was funny that David saw her bathing and her name was Bathsheba. I just thought that was
kind of
funny.
That's so funny. I didn't even catch that. That's funny. He saw her bathing. Her name is Bathsheba. There you go. I'm using
all
that.
Right. Well, y'all have a good day. God bless.
Thanks. God bless. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Another phenomenal Monday. That's right. Don't you be bluesy. It's Monday. Here you go. Here's your trivia question. This is a really good one. You guys should know this one. The answer, by the way, is in Revelation 1:14. It says, in John's vision, what were Jesus's eyes like? A flame of fire, white as snow, or blue as the sea? What were his eyes like? A flame of fire, white as snow, or blue as the sea? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? So your reference point, because people need a reference point from time to time. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. That's everything right. In fact, when you look something up in Scripture, it reinforces just like everything else. Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. In John's vision, what were Jesus' eyes like? A flame of fire, white as snow, or blue as the sea? I think we have somebody ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, hi, David. It's Deborah.
Weren't you just on a fill?
You were just...
I just think that Bathsheba line was so funny. It's like, her name was Bathsheba. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's good. It's just like, that's legendary. I'm just never going to forget that. All right, you ready for the trivia question?
Yes.
All right. In John's vision, what were Jesus' eyes like? A flame of fire, white as snow, or blue as the sea?
That would be a flame of fire.
That is correct, Amundo!
You know me, I gotta go for the easy one.
That's a good one, though. And it's just like, I don't think people realize, looking at his face, it's like, okay, there's like, his eyes are like on fire. Like, uh-oh. It's just like that. That just seems daunting to me. I don't know. Maybe it's me. Excellent job, as always. I hope you're doing
all right.
Well.
Yes, sir. I hope you are, too. And praying for you and Noel and Bert, of course.
Yeah, and Bert. Please keep praying for Bert. I don't want to have to send him to Jesus before his time. But if he doesn't quit bringing mud into the house, I'm going to have to really think about. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, but thank you for that. Thank you for your prayers. I appreciate them.
All righty. Thank you, and y'all have a good afternoon.
All right. God bless you, Deb.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. I love our audience. We got just great people. That's just easy. All right. We're going to do history and then the final part on the teacher Rooney. I call it somebody.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right. Here we go. This is really kind of funny. First of all, it's National Corn Chip Day, which is like, okay, right? I don't think it has to be Fritos. It could be like any kind of corn chip, right? That's good. Noelle was really into this for a season in her life, National Puzzle Day. She does puzzles. She likes the big puzzles, 1,000-piece, 2,000-piece. Then she'd give it to me and say, you want to help me? And I go, no.
I've tried like a really huge puzzle before. I did it for about an hour, and I was like, I'm done.
Yeah,
I give up.
I mean, unless it's 6 pieces, it's probably not happening. In 1886, Carl Benz... Mercedes-Benz patents the gasoline-driven automobile in 1886. How about that one? In 1936, the first inductees into the Baseball Hall of Fame are announced. So, 1936. And the last thing I'm going to say, and it's rather funny, just hang out there, curmudgeons. It's Curmudgeon's Day. A curmudgeon is a cantankerous, difficult, and bad-tempered person who's usually... an older person. They are celebrated on Curmudgeon's Day, which takes place on the birthday of W.C. Fields, a comedian and actor who was known for his curmudgeonly demeanor. On Curmudgeon's Day, people act as curmudgeons and celebrate curmudgeons, and they know they are celebrating W.C. Fields. And for those that don't know W.C. Fields, I'll give you the only line I know from him. Get away from me, kid. You bother me. Okay. That's W.C. Fields. Get away from me, kid. You bother me. All right, back to the text. That's funny. Back to the text we go after we've talked about God breathing in to mankind the breath of life. Verse 8 in Genesis 2, then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he created. And the Lord God planted all sorts of trees in the garden, beautiful trees that produced delicious fruit. How good was the fruit? Delicious. At the center of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There were more than two trees in the garden. Can we just acknowledge that? But there were two trees at the center of the garden. At the very center, which was a part of Eden, in the garden, there were two trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and of evil. At the center of the existence of mankind was a choice. Every day, you and I need to make choices. Some choices are more important than other choices. It probably is not a huge point on whether you want to use ketchup or mustard on your burger. Probably not that huge. It is a huge decision if they give you too much change and you know it and you keep it. That is also a choice, but not the right one. Why I say that is because every day in all things, we have all sorts of choices to make. We have choices to operate in faith, in the kingdom, in partnership with God. And then you have smaller little choices on, you know, which shirt am I going to wear, or whatever the case may be, unless the Lord has something he wants you to do. And then you always just do what the Lord says. But I want you to understand something, that in the garden, so the trees, there's all sorts of trees in the garden. Beautiful trees, by the way. These weren't ugly trees. They weren't like out of bloom or whatever. They're full bloom and they're looking phenomenal. Better than anything you can even imagine, probably. Probably the best there ever was. Until we get to the new heavens and the new earth, and they produced delicious fruit. It was delicious. It was wonderful. It wasn't like they were getting, these trees are producing McDonald's fruit. But that one over there, that's like in and out. You know, it's like, no. It was all delicious. And at the center of it all is the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And just think about that. A decision has to be made by you and I every day for the kingdom, for ourselves, for the world, for this, for whatever. Every decision that is kingdom connected is advancing one kingdom or another. Every time we make a decision, listen to what I'm saying, to do the wrong thing, we're advancing the wrong kingdom. Right? Now I said, mustard or ketchup on your burger, not really a kingdom issue. Keeping something from somebody that you know you should share, that's a kingdom issue. You see that difference? So the reason that it's important to understand is in the entry point for mankind, in the beginning of the engagement with God, as mankind was just created, God was letting mankind know and witnessing to you and I still that there are decisions to be made and kingdoms to be advanced. And choosing the wrong fruit can produce a lot of bad results. If you're not sure about that, ask Eve and Adam when they ate the wrong fruit. That's important for you and I to be sensitive to. Are you going to do this perfectly? Probably not. But you know what you can do? You can say on an everyday basis, like we talk about our DNA, Lord, help me to make good decisions today. Help me to make right choices, ones that honor you, ones that glorify you and bless others. You can say that. And that's the kind of prayer God always says yes to. Get that? All right. All right, we will end it there. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.